I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials. I'm your host, Ant, and on this show, as I've been told, we put anybody in front of a mic. So I'm so excited for tonight. I know that there's teams traveling from all over the world going to Finland for next week's IFAF World Championships, but we want to get into IFAF a little bit tonight, and so we are going global as well. So let's go ahead and bring on the guests. First and foremost, we got Lance, the only guy capable of beating the Curry Bombers. What up, Lance?
My God, will you shut up now? I am doing well. Happy to be on the show, Ann. Thanks for the invite.
I know. I've missed you, Lance. I've missed you a lot.
I'm a little bit busy, but I'm glad to be here today.
There you go. It seems like just the Bay is so busy with things, and I'm sure you're in the mix. Are you taking some time off from playing, or are you doing both still?
Still doing both. My calendar for September and October is pretty packed, and I'm actually glad I took a couple weeks break prior and running into both tackle and flag for the fall season, and then coming out of it in November. So just next couple months will be really busy for me.
Nice. Well, busy is good, right?
Yes, definitely.
Cool. All right. So the next guest we're going to bring on, here we go, Juan. How are you, Juan?
Hey, guys.
Welcome. Juan, I just share where you're from.
I'm from Mexico. I'm from a state called Chiapas.
So okay, there we go.
I'm saying hi from the south part from Mexico.
Awesome. All right, cool. And next up, we're going to bring out another guest. And I don't want to mispronounce your name, so I'm going to let you say your name.
Hey, guys. It's Omer.
Omer. Okay. Welcome, sir. And where are you coming from?
I'm from Israel. Sunny Israel.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I appreciate both of you guys coming on. Juan, we're going to start with you. I just want to hear kind of your background story of kind of your origin of being involved in flag football, whether it's playing or officiating, and just what brought you to today.
Okay. I don't want to bore you guys, but I'm like a pandemic ref, you know? I started in 2020. But I think it at 2021, I went to a national tournament here in Mexico City, where I was able to be nominated to the 2022, I think. No, 2022 was my tryout, I think, to go to Charlotte on 2023, right?
Yeah, yeah.
2023. And yeah. That's about it. I know tackle football. I know flag football because I was a player. So it was easy for me to know the UK, the IQ of the game. And it's been a really good path for me.
Nice. And just as far as kind of traveling internationally, have you experienced tournaments and stuff outside of Mexico?
Only with you guys at USA Flag Football. USA cool. Flag, I understand. So it's been this year. I started with Tampa on January in 2024. I met Lance. It was really nice to meet him. And I started to learn a lot of USA Flag, you know, like announcements and verbal techniques that we officials need to say. That's why on the last tournament, Lance was telling me, stop saying what I say. You remember, man? Sorry, bro. I took you like my mentor.
No.
I don't know if it was a good mentor or a bad mentor, but I say what he says.
What's the phrase? What does Lance always say?
It's not clocks running. It's clocks cut. And what's the other thing? I don't recall it right now.
Well, and in San Antonio, the clock was extra hot, right? I heard the temperatures were out of control that weekend.
Damn right.
Cool. All right. So, Omer, before we get to you, I want to bring on another guest. He came on late. Jacob, what up, Jacob? Oh, you got yourself muted. Come on, man.
My bad. What's going on? How's everybody doing?
Hey.
Good. There we go. Cool. Omer, please just give us kind of your origin story as well as your involvement with flag football.
All right. So I've been officiating flag since 2018. Won the European Championship in Israel at 2019. And was assigned to the women's final as field judge. And then a year later, the World Championship was in Israel also. And I got picked for the women's final as head referee. So Desiree was the referee of the men's and I was the referee of the women's. That was a great honor. Then went 2022, went to Alabama to the World Games. And I was supervising the officials alongside Des and Ramal. And had Brendan on my crew as a crewmate. It was really awesome. And walked also the men's final there. And then last year, the European Championship, I was picked to be the head referee of the men's final. So had some international experience with IFF rules. And for the past year, I've been running the program we've started of reviewing all IFF games. So I've been walking your guys' games, Ant and Lance. I was watching you at work, probably got my reviews, and we've been doing more than 100 games from all over the world in the past year and reviewing and giving notes to officials, trying to get everybody better. So that's my short story.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. I appreciate you coming on and just kind of bringing your perspective. Lance, I don't want to speak for you, but all I know is when I was in Charlotte and I was officiating those games, it was so taxing mentally. I just feel like I was so focused on getting the signals right, making sure I was in the right place. It was hot, it was humid. I know Jacob, that's like a normal day for him in North Carolina, but man, it was.
It's August and I'm wearing a hoodie, man. So, I mean, let that speak.
But, I don't know. It was really cool being able to go back and watch the video and have kind of an analytics of kind of the calls we made. And there, you know, there were a few where it was like, oh, okay, this call should have come from this crew member and things like that. Lance, can you share kind of your experience as far as being in Charlotte and just the analytics that you received as well?
I think one of the things that people don't realize is that from a mechanics perspective, there are certain things that of certain people should be doing versus not doing. And we tend to for good or for bad, and this kind of more towards you, Jacob, when we do the larger tournaments, we sort of let that go a little bit just because we're trying to get to the flow of game. Sometimes we only have a two-man crew, so we can't do the things that we need to be doing. And yep. Unfortunately, the mechanics suffer, right? So then you start to become, you know, a little lazy in terms of what you should be looking at and where your keys to what you should be seeing versus not seeing. So you kind of lose that perspective. I appreciated a lot of the feedback because I take it's kind of the same format that I am doing when I'm doing also tackle, because I get reviewed on a weekly basis from our director level folks. So it's a very similar process. So I appreciate it. Sometimes I take it a little too personal. I'm like, what do you mean? I just saw. So, but at the same time, I understand the perspective and I understand why everyone's reviewing it, because at the end of the day, we all want to try to be better. We all want to become better at our craft. And the only way to do that is not to listen to yourself, but to listen to what other people are seeing, what you're doing, and being able to take that kind of feedback and say, I get it. Totally understand. Makes sense. Or yeah, but I was also looking at this, not being argumentative, but being open to different perspectives. So definitely learning that, and you know, all the feedback that I got, especially from the international side, I've actually taken a lot of that feedback, applied it to both some of the tackle mechanics, as well as bringing it.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
To the larger tournaments for USA Flag.
Yeah, and Jacob, so Lance brought up kind of the differences, and this is something I definitely want to talk about tonight, the differences between something like IFAF, where we only officiated two or three games a day, compared to USA Flag, where we're officiating, 37 games in an hour, and it's very different. But more than anything, how do you manage all these different personalities of officials as a director, giving, you know, feedback and things? I mean, you've got Lance, who's uber sensitive and is going to cry if you make any wrong comment to him. So how do you manage that?
Well, you know, I went to this school and I got my, no, I'm just kidding. there's, you know, I joke and I say that there's one part of this that where you're not a babysitter, but a therapist, you know, because there's times where, you know, I'm going to use you two, Lance and Ant, as my examples. Obviously you two both work very well together. You guys are great officials for us. You can shake your head no all you want, Lance, but you know deep down in that ice cold heart of yours, that's three times too small. You're the Grinch.
Wait a minute. Does he have a heart? Does he have a heart?
Probably not, Juan, to be honest with you. The blood just flows right past where it's supposed to be. But anyways, you know, there's times where I have instances. Like I said, you two are not, this is completely untrue, where Lance says, hey, I can't work with Ant, or Ant would come to me and say, hey, Lance is a crew chief, I can't work with him. You know, there's times where I have to buffer that and have to figure out, okay, if this person can't work with this person, who do I put them with? How do I put them? How do I put them in a place where they're going to be successful? Things I look for is, you know, regions, right? If five officials come from Florida and four are from North Dakota, I've never had an official from North Dakota that I know of. I'm not going to completely blend them, right? What I'm going to do is I'm going to take officials from each side. I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to make an entire crew from Florida. I'm going to make an entire crew from North Dakota. And then that last crew, I'm going to kind of blend and figure out who is most open to work with people. It's also a lot of trial and error. Unfortunately, we don't get to spend a lot of time with people beforehand. We have to, you know, when people fill out the application and they say, hey, I've ref 14 Super Bowls. And turns out when they say Super Bowl, they're talking about the Tiny Mike game that, you know, the 7-year-olds just played last week. We have to take their word for it and have to kind of figure out who can work well in certain places and who can't. So it's a lot of trial and error to answer, you know, that, you know, a short answer for that I really gave a long explanation for.
Gotcha. So for the World Games, you were helping kind of organize that and assign which officials would go to each games. Is that correct?
No, that less of that, more reviewing and giving gradings and helping the officials get better and remarking after each game.
I got you. So do you know as far as how that process looks for these international games and how they kind of bring the different languages, different parts of the world, how they decide who's going to be on what game?
Yeah, I did give a hand to Martin Cockrell, the head of the officials in the World Championship now. So it's 48, actually it's 50 officials coming to Finland. So that's a lot of guys. So what we try to do is mix up, first of all, guys and girls, and then experienced officials with inexperienced officials, and to make the crews as mixed as possible. We tried not to put people from the same country at the same crew, to mix everything as much as we can, and to have the crew chief the most experienced in the bunch. And the crew chief doesn't have to be the referee. He can be whatever position he wants, but he's the head and the manager of the crew.
Gotcha. Okay, well, that makes sense. Do you enjoy kind of being a part of that and being a part of the analyzing, or do you want to just be on the field?
Well, both. If they would ask me what I prefer, I would prefer to be on the field, but I like both. It's fun, yeah, being part of the organizers and to help set everything up. That's fun.
Gotcha.
Omer, can I ask a question to Omer?
Sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Omer. So, you're supervising. Do you happen to know my boss, my friend, and my boss, Alan Kotler?
Yeah, obviously.
Oh, perfect.
Argentina. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So say hi to him, from me, please.
I will. I'm gonna see him in a couple of days.
What we do in Paradise Football or Paradise officiating is to analyze and try to become a better officials, reviewing mechanics and everything. So happy to know you, Omer.
And we're going to have a couple of Mexican officials in the World Championship also.
Yes, sir.
Can
you edit something, Ref Ant?
Yeah. No.
No. Okay. So they have to say hi to them, please.
Can't do it.
I'm gonna try to go like a Colombian or by USA flag. I don't know. I'm trying to make my way over there.
So Juan, I know you're being kind of humble, but I think you are a pretty big deal in Mexico. Talk to me about, you know, your organization or that you're involved with, and how you get officials together and organize that aspect.
Oh, thank you. I really thank you and appreciate it. Everything comes working with Alan. So Alan is my boss. We have Paradise officiating and Paradise Football. We are just four officials all over the country, and we're trying to make this happen. Something that we don't have in Mexico, it's somebody that coaches officials, you know? So how can you become a better official, like a professional official? So now you have us. We study IFAB rules. We try to do everything by the book and outside the book, but we are internationally, like you know, if I do some signals like from the manual or everything, I know Omer is gonna understand me. And on USA flag, I was officiating with Brandon. And we understand each other because he was my side judge and I was the field judge, and I was doing everything like IFAB states. So we had a blast on that match, and that's what are we working for. The only thing we lack is our English. So I really think the opportunity of being a part of USA flag officials, because that's going to take me on the next level. So thank you, guys.
Awesome. Well, so Juan, that kind of leads me right into my next question as far as officiating in Mexico and officiating in the U.S. What differences, besides the language barrier, what differences do you really notice?
IFAB, bro. I don't know. Why did you use IFAB? I mean, I have my cheat sheet here on the USA flag, and it's a lot of rules, bro. there's a lot of formats, but this is awesome. This is awesome. This demonstrates how organized are you guys. I prefer Olympic because it's the same thing like IFAB, and it's funny because I understand the rules. I read the rules of USA flag before going to Tampa, but my first flag, and Lance not gonna let me lie. My first flag was like a jumping, because I saw this dude like did a big jump, and I was like, "Come on, bro! This is obviously a flag." And I was like, "Damn." The flag goes all the way up, and Lance went to me and like, "It's for the jumping, right? Yeah, this is loud over here." Yeah. okay, my bad.
But it's yeah, it's okay, Juan, because literally just like 2 months ago in Virginia, there was me and Lance were working together, and I threw a flag for something. And he said, "Well, what did you throw that flag for?" "No, pick that flag up. Come on. Let's go. We got to go."
We got to go.
That's another big difference, because Knife have 50 minutes per game, and you guys 24 minutes. And that's why the clock's cut, you know? That's why the clock's cut. So yep. we keep rolling. Mm-hmm. And another big difference I wanted to say, impeding the rush. So I was with all you guys. And
if you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
And the rest, when we take a break, And I ask for everybody, like, what is the signal for impeding the rush? Because for me in IFAB, it's shielding, right? Mm-hmm. And it was important for me that nobody knows that there was a signal for impeding the rush. But in IFAB, there's always a signal for everything. You know, you have to make your announcement and everything. And you guys in USA flag, it's just like, no, nothing. It's just impeding the rush, and let's keep rolling. You know. Yeah. Okay. Ducks out.
All right, so I'm gonna kind of put you guys on the spot a little bit. As far as this goes, I think this is a great thing to compare. Lance, can you explain USA flag rules for impeding the rush?
Well, I don't think the question was more the rule. It's more what the signal
is. The signal.
I know. I'm asking you what the rule is.
He's trying to make a clip, man.
Okay, if I ask for the rule, you have to make the fault, the signal, the point of, you know?
Yeah, Lance, stand up in front of your piano and show us how you're going to call him feeding the rush.
So the definition of impeding the rush to me, in the way I interpret it, is if the rush's ability to do their job is impeded or affected by an offensive player to do their job, to rush the QB. So if they have to slow down, stop, reroute themselves because they don't want to run into an offensive player, that's on them. Now, the signal is, do we have a signal? We do? I don't use it then. Because I just use a,
Wait a minute.
I use shielding.
That's contact.
What?
Yes? That's contact.
Isn't that shielding?
This is contact. Well, okay, so in tackle, that's contact.
Okay.
I go by what I recall in, I go back to my tackle roots for penalty signals, unless it's like a flag specific, like flag guarding or jumping in IFAB, which I will never do. I will have someone else call that. but if I remember correctly, yeah, so I try and do all signals similar to what tackle signal would be. Is there a specific signal, Jacob? And maybe
I feel like there is. We had it somewhere. I can't remember. It's always just been one of those call it, move on.
Yeah. So, Omer.
So I will say this one, and very, it is one of those things, and this is goes back to kind of my comment earlier about we've got so many games we got to get through between 8 and 8 p.m. that we sometimes don't do a very good job of doing our job. And one of them is not only penalty enforcement, but also penalty, you know, signaling what the heck the penalty is. Mm-hmm. You got for Omer and Juan, when we do IFAB, we look for the camera, we go to the camera side, we face the camera, we do our signal while everyone else is doing their job. When we're doing small ball format for USA flag, we don't have time because the clock's still going. So there's the balance of that versus what we do in for IFAB. So that's a natural, that's something that we just have to better manage. For me, what I try and do is if I see the flag, I'll do a hand signal, but I won't pick a side, and we got to go.
That's something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I've had players yell at me when I'm trying to explain penalties and like just move on already. like I'm just trying to explain this penalty. But Omer, as far as shielding goes, can you explain that rule in IFAB, and do you know what the mechanic is for it?
Yeah, so we have two kinds of shieldings because we have different players with the right of way. One player with right of way is the blitzer, which is a line 7 yards away or more from the line of scrimmage, and he had the right of way if he raised his hand before the snap. So everybody has to allow him to make his route. Then we have the receivers. The receivers have the right of way. So the defenders has to allow them to make their route, and no one can be in their way. And then we have the defenders. They do have the right of way. So that's some kind of a hierarchy. The blitzer comes first, then the receiver, then the defenders. And no one can be on their path. So we have to decide who had the higher right of way and who blocked who. That's not easy. And each official has his keys and his territory to watch. So referee is going to watch the blitzer, then side judge is going to watch the deep route, and field judge and towel judge are going to watch the middle route. And everybody has to see if someone impedes someone's route or not.
Gotcha. And is there a mechanic for shielding?
For the signal?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like that.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha. And I think that's what I saw in the iPad rule book was that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, and like one said, there's a signal for everything. It's kind of like tackle. We have a signal for everything. Everything should be signed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey guys, quick question. So in this impeding the rush, when it's a bunch formation, do they have to be touching each other?
No.
Okay. No. Because there's a lot of players that they're not touching each other, so there's a lane. Oh my god.
Yep.
No. So we have the difference between shielding and blocking. So shielding is no contact. It's a non-contact foul. If you just make the blitzer or the runner, the receiver change his route a little bit, that's shielding. If there's some contact between them, that's blocking. And blocking any contact foul is 10 yards and a loss of down against the offense, or 10 yards and the automatic first down against the defense. Okay, shielding Omer, non-contact is only 5 yards.
Okay, Omer, but is this IFF? Because it could be like DPI. It's a defensive pass interference.
Yeah, it's the same. It's another contact foul. In IFF, every contact foul is a contact foul.
Yeah, perfect.
Gotcha. So, Omer, I just want to ask you this, just as far as IFF, just for somebody that maybe all they see is all this debate and conversation lately about NFL players and flag players and the differences between tackle and flag football and all of that stuff, but I just want you to just – I'm not going to ask you for your opinion on any of that. But what I want to ask you is maybe for the general public to just kind of explain how IFAF, International Flag Football, is different than what people are used to in football.
But first of all, this debate is really interesting. And to watch it from the side, it's really interesting. And I know the flag guys for many years now. I've been officiating them a few times. So it's really interesting. Because these guys are working really hard for many years and no one cared. And now when it becomes Olympic, suddenly everybody cares and everybody wants to be there. So,
Say no more.
Yeah. Well, that's a very interesting conversation. And yeah. I can understand all the angles. The main difference is non-contact. There's no contact in IFF flag, nothing. We will allow some contact if it's small. And in the highest level games, whenever US and Mexico are playing, there's going to be some contact there. But we try to allow as minimum contact as possible. And I think this would be the biggest issue for tackle football players to get ready to. And we always see it when tackle football players start to play flag, they're going to crash into each other, they're going to hit each other, there's going to be a lot of DPIs or a lot of by the runners, a lot of charges. Yeah. And it takes a lot of time to get used to it. No contact is allowed.
Yeah, so I'm just going to also just ask, Omer, to you to try to look towards the future. How do you think that the current IFAF rulebook will look different when it becomes the Olympic rulebook? Are there going to be changes, do you think, or this is kind of where we're at?
It's a good question. We don't really know what's going to happen. You talked about it last week. I'm positive review will come in some kind of way. I'm sure that toward the Olympics, with it being held in LA and all the possibilities American football has, I'm quite positive review will come in. I don't know in which way, but it will be there.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
I don't believe that the rules will change a lot. It should be still a non-contact foul, but the rule book has to change a little bit. We are talking a lot about it, about how to change it, how to make it more visible and more fun to the viewers. Some things are not really coherent for everybody, and even the players don't always understand some of the differences between the different fouls. So we do try to simplify it and make it more fun to watch and more easier to watch. So there are going to be some changes, but I believe that the main idea is going to change like it is. No contacts and everything around it.
So speaking of our conversation last week, Jacob's got a box of cigars riding on it. How many officials do you think are going to be on the field in the Olympics?
I think it's going to stay four. I don't see how in such a small field we need five. It's a small field.
Mommy.
Field judge is always the guy that has the biggest problems, because he's running all day long and he's got the whole sideline for himself. But good field judge is doing it without any problems. I don't see IFF changing it. I feel having on such a small field, having five officials on the field is, and we've tried it. We've did some experiments in variations in other tournaments. Mm-hmm. I never felt it was better than having four officials.
Yeah, I agree.
Gotcha. All right, so I know it's like the middle of the night for you, so I kind of want to let you be able to exit out of here, and we'll keep going with the show. But I want to put you on the hot seat. At least everybody that comes on the hot on this show, I have to ask a question, and I need answers. Okay, in Finland's next week. Who's winning men's? Who's winning women's?
The officials. That's going to be the best team.
Good answer.
Yes.
That's right, Omer.
All right. All right. Well, I gotta take that answer, I guess. So Omer, I just want to give you the opportunity. Anything that you want to share with the world of officiating, with the world of flag football, anything you'd like to share?
Well, first of all, it's been fun. I've never thought I'm gonna be officiating in such a high level. And it's really fun. I love it. I love flag football. I studied like anybody else. I studied in tackle. And when they asked me to move to flag or to add flag, I was like, that's not a sport. Tackle is real football. And when you go into flag, you see it's beautiful and it's quick and it's everything is so smooth. So I really started becoming in love with flag football. And doing it internationally, it's amazing. Meeting people from all over the world, learning from people from all over the world. It's such a fun experience. So I really appreciate IFF for the opportunity, and appreciate my organization for helping me going along. So yeah, it's past few years were a blast.
Awesome. Well, Omar, I really appreciate you joining us tonight. Like I said, I know it's the middle of the night over there. You got a lot of traveling, so safe travels and enjoy the excitement next week.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank and you, I hope man. To meet everybody soon.
Yes, sir. Come to
the United States in January.
Tampa, we'd love
to have you out there.
Let's have a conversation.
Well, I'm planning to come to the United States to LA in 2028.
Well, that's too far away.
Oh, drop the mic.
All right. Cool. Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, have a good night.
Have a good night.
That's funny because for me it's all the way around because now that I'm trying to specialize myself in tackle football and trying to learn all the mechanics in tackle, for me it's after reviewing or after being reffing in tackle football, flag football just becomes easier, you know? So every signal that we do and
Yes, I absolutely agree. And when I moved, so I had been invited to do high school tackle for a multitude of years in the past, and I just never did it. And then like 3 years ago, I just said, all right, fine, I'll do it. By the time that first game was over, they had moved me from line judge to back judge. By the third week, they were having me white hat, JV, and fresh hands. Just because everything's, I don't want to say similar, but there's like similarities. You're like, oh, that's I know that signal. That's easy. So you're looking for different things, but it's like, all right, I have a better base than anyone else that's coming in net new. So I don't have to train myself up. Or you have like 60, 70% of it already there. It's just a matter of, you know, a hold in tackle is a different hold than in fly, right? The little things like that.
Yeah, honestly, Lance, I got to give you a lot of credit. I don't know how you switch back and forth. I can't even push pull. So the fact of thinking about going from flag one night to tackle the next, just like this, I mean, system overload for sure. I mean, just when I was like officiating sevens passing league on a Saturday and doing flag on Sunday, those first couple games of flag, I mean, those DBs were getting away with murder. And because I had just done 20 games of passing league where you don't call anything at all. So, like, I got to give you credit for that. Juan, you're saying it actually it helps you as a flag official. I want to talk just more about you coming into USA Flag and experiencing it. So Tampa and San Antonio, where else have you been?
I think Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's about to go to San Diego, whether he knows it or not.
I have a commitment with Oscar Rizzo, so I cannot go. Sorry.
What?
Let
me talk to Oscar. I will talk to that man.
Yeah, that didn't come through clearly. Lance, handle it.
There you got it.
So, Juan, let me ask you this. What, out of those three tournaments, where did you have the most fun? Where did you learn the most? What was the worst experience? Let me hear it.
Okay, I think that my worst experience, it's the same as where I learned the most. So, definitely Tampa. I only do IFAB. I consider myself like a IFAB professional. So going to US with just two of my guys, working with Lance and with the other guy, what's the name? This little guy from North Carolina.
Zane.
Zane.
Yeah.
The little guy. Yeah. I love it.
And championship. Hey, field.
That's the new tagline. The little guy, aka. Yeah.
Don't worry, sorry. I'm fixing sorry. It right now. No, don't apologize, please.
So that was my best experience. You know, my first flag back was jumping. Then learning how you call a DPI, what's really a DPI? Because in IFAF, like Hush says, you can barely how did he say it? Like barely sniffing the neck. Yeah, breathe on his neck. Mm-hmm. And the USA flag, it's really different. And here in Mexico, I always, that's another mistake that I had. Here in Mexico, I always say, if somebody asks me something like time left or something, it doesn't matter if there's it's a woman. So I say, yes, this is the time left, sir. In Spanish, yes. Este, sí, señor, no? So I said it in Tampa with one girl that was obviously under the influence of something. And damn, I'm not a sir, I am a man. No. So I understand that really quick. And we had a semifinals with YTG. Sorry. Semifinal with YTG, and Lance told us that this was going to be a really hard game, and we sorted out. But in the finals, somebody said to Miguel May and May, okay, you're done for today. So that for me, it was really okay. But it was like, okay, you need to do better next time, you know? Okay, there was something lacking between language and no.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
How to, what to flag and what it's not a flag, what's not real a flag. So I think that was my best tournament.
Gotcha. So I mean, you say that you're an IFAF professional. So I just want to ask you, just in Mexico, are there a lot of tackle players that are transitioning into flag right now because they want to get into the Olympics?
No, it's not the same like USA. It's not the same. I don't see football players or tackle players trying to do that. So flag is going to be the same thing. I believe that same players that I've seen in the last or past 3 years, they're going to still doing the tryouts for the Olympics, but not tackle players, no.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it is a little different with other countries where the flag teams are already part of the Olympic organization. So I have noticed that where with the United States, flag, the national team is not part of the Olympic team yet. So I don't know if that makes a difference.
Maybe that's something that's going to happen here in Mexico, because we have the Mexican Federation of Football, or we call it American football, where it comes Uriel, that you know, and the players that's going to Finland right now. But there's also the Olympic Committee, the Mexican Olympic Committee. So I believe that's going to be the next 4 years of, I know, political issues, you know?
Yeah.
So if IFAB recognizes the Mexican Olympic Committee, that's going to be a great opportunity for all of us that are not playing with the Mexican Federation.
Interesting. So what are your goals long-term? I know it's easy to just say LA 2028, but where do you see yourself over the next 10 years as an official?
Okay, I've been telling this to my friends. It might sound stupid, like, to dream about it, you know? Like, to, hey, I know Jacob, I know Anthony, I'm going to USA flag, and I have an opportunity to be on LA 28, because I'm not an American citizen, you know? But I'm going to try for it on the Olympic Committee, Mexican Olympic Committee. If I can go, like, counting downs or making the time changer and everything with the USA flag, I will be really glad. But I don't know. Mexican opportunities are different right now. We have Alan Cotillard on the Argentinian Federation, but there's only one spot, so who's going to beat Alan?
You!
No, I don't think so.
You!
Hey, Alan, I'm going to take your spot. So,
hey, a lot. Here's something, Juan. Here's something that I think applies to the United States just as much as everywhere else in the world. In 4 years, a lot's going to change. You know, people who are, you know, in their mid-30s right now that are playing or upper 30s, they're not going to be considered, you know, for the 2028 team. They're going to be – why would you consider somebody that, you know, who's older when you can have somebody young, fresh, that you can impose, you know, you can code, they're coachable, things like that. I think officials – it might be the same case. I don't think it'll necessarily completely be the same case because I feel like with officials – you see a lot of people are looking all for the experience. They're not looking for the age. They're not looking for people that they can train and coach and that can be coachable. They're looking for people that they can just say, hey, this guy's been doing it forever. Now on the flip side, I completely agree with you. I can be a bit of a dreamer myself where I think, you know, hey, you know, I want to see myself in the 2028 Olympics, but you know, the reality is that probably won't happen. Or, you know, at least with the climate where it's at right now, you know, if worst case, I'll be in the stands watching. I'm not going to miss it. I'll put it that way. So, I mean, I say never give up, keep going and figure out the path that's going to be best for you. That works best for you.
Yeah. What's the common language between us? If you step on the field, you do your best work, you know?
Absolutely.
You have to be the most professional on the field. So if whenever a spot is available, it's going to be for you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
Yeah, so Juan, just to switch it up a little bit, it's your turn on the hot seat. I'm telling you right now, I can't have the answer of officials. I know we all want the officials in Finland to win, but just tell me, Juan, I need to hear it. Mexico is going to clean sweep in Finland, right? Let me hear it.
Don't give me a sound.
I don't know, but probably both gold medals, yeah.
But,
yeah, both gold medals, yeah.
Mexico is going to get both gold medals?
Yeah, and... To enrich your my answer, it's the same thing that I always say to my officials that I now I have a lot of work coaching a lot of officials. So if we have male and female selection that probably it's going to win a gold medal. What are we going to do here in Mexico to, speaking like officials, we have to be on our best, you know? So, yeah, I think we have a lot of wood for the world, for the gold, but let's take it more for the officials, you know? So we have a lot of tools.
Gotcha. So Juan, just to kind of let you wrap up your time here on the show, any final thoughts you want to share? If you want to speak in English first and then share some thoughts in Spanish for any of the other officials in Mexico that might be listening, feel free to.
Okay, you can say that my English sucks, and I understand. I can start speaking Spanish, and it doesn't matter, bro.
Let him know. I love it when they clap back at
it.
This is the best.
No, I got you. No, that's the only thing I wanted to
last
say.
Last time I pick him up from the airport. Oh, yeah.
Don't worry, Somebody we'll get you taken please. Care of, bro.
That's it. I really appreciate the opportunity of being a part of the USA flag officials. I really thank you all. I really think that you are doing your best to help me and to help my guys, you know. We're trying our best to do the most professional job. So we thank you a lot. We're gonna do our best for you and for to represent our Mexico. In Spanish, it will be the same that I say that to everybody. It's gonna be the same that I just talked about. Si tenemos el equipo mexicano que es de nivel oro, nosotros como oficiales tenemos que responder con el arbitraje a nivel oro y tenemos que hacerlo. So gold medals in male and female, but also like with officials, you know?
Here we go. Cool, Juan. Well, I appreciate you coming on, and you have a good night.
You too.
Hey, be good, Juan.
Be good, Juan. It's good seeing you.
All right, fellas. You know, the boring part of the night, we got to talk about rules. Because I know guys like Law and all the guys in the Bay, they're just constantly grilling Lance, and they want to, you know, misconstrue things and turn things around. And so I think the best way for us to get the rules out to the players, and so they can just stop, you know, coming up with their own rules, is to explain it. And so I think something that continues to come up is just PATs. I think there's so many issues with PATs. So, Jacob, just kind of break it down for me. Let me hear it.
All right. So point after touchdowns, it's pretty simple, guys. Once the ball's crossed the plane, we've got a touchdown. You know, your captain or your speaking captain on the field is going to make a declaration between one or two points to the official. Once that declaration has been made, the only way that it can potentially be changed is by calling a timeout. At that point, then you can change your declaration from one to two or two to one. If a penalty occurs, well, I'm getting there, Lance. Gee whiz. Good night. It's literally the next thing I was getting ready to say. If a penalty occurs during an extra point attempt, we're going to assess the penalty, but our point value is going to stay the same. We cannot call a timeout to change. At that point, we can no longer call a timeout to change our extra point attempt. We can't do anything along those lines. We have to keep it, has to stay at that point. Let's see, what else can we talk about with this? Okay, here's another fun part. Interceptions on an extra point. Let's say we're going for one. Defense intercepts it. First situation, defense runs it all the way back for a touchdown or a defensive conversion. it's going to be 2 points no matter what extra point total they're going for. In co-ed, if it's a female who intercepts it, runs it all the way back, it's going to be 3 points. If now let's take another situation, defense intercepts the ball. I intercept it. I'm running downfield. Lance is trying to pull my flag. I go to pitch it back to Ant, and Lance intercepts it back to his original team, and then he runs and scores because me and Ant can't pull his flag. The point value is the original attempt. So if we're going for one, it would still be one. If you were going for two, it would still be two. Let's see.
I'm going to give you two scenarios.
Go ahead.
One is, let's say you intercept the PAT. I tackle you before you get to midfield.
Okay.
So play's over.
Yep.
What is the result of the play?
All right. So am I the only person? Are you the only person preventing me from scoring? Nobody else is around.
I tackled you.
You tackled me. Okay.
So yeah, there's no other reason why I would do that because I was throwing it, so therefore I have a slow team.
Okay. So I would say, I mean, by that, then we have to go to another section. We go under our last man rule.
Mm-hmm.
So last man says, in the spirit of unfair acts, officials have discretion to award a score if a flagrant and a foul occurs inside the final line zone to gain, or they reasonably believe a foul is the only thing that prevented the ball carrier from scoring. In that situation, you're telling me that you're the only reason I didn't score. I'm going to award two points for that.
Correct. And there is a difference between to the ref's discretion that a lot of people don't understand is if I tackle you to the ground versus a hold is just a normal penalty.
Right.
A tackle is an egregious stoppage of you not scoring.
Agreed.
That's a difference. People don't understand that. I'm like, when I'm playing and literally our two games stop because the ref from another field comes over and asks me, and I'm like, well, what did they do? What did you call it? I called it a hold. Is that egregious? No. There's your answer.
And even with a hold, you can have an egregious hold that's not a tackle that you can deem is, you know, so it's judgment of the official.
Yep.
So keep that in mind. What's the second situation?
Mm-hmm. So all of the penalties that you cannot reset your PAT are live ball. What about a dead ball?
You still cannot reset your PAT. Once a penalty is committed. Dude, don't yell at me, all right? since you've been on this, we got to talk. Don't come
I haven't guns eaten dinner yet.
I took two bites and hopped on. By the way, something to make you feel better, and shout out to Avery. I was on the phone with Avery. That's why I was a couple minutes late. She told me to tell you hi. She misses you. She can't wait for San Diego.
Talk about name dropping. Geez.
What did I do?
Go ahead. Keep talking.
I thought this was an international episode. This is one of our Canadian friends. She told me she had a blast in Nashville.
Yes. I'm going to get trouble. Stop it.
I'm not going to say anything else, buddy. That's it.
Leave it alone. Anyway, shut up, man.
Hey, I didn't say anything.
You don't have to. I already know you. I know you too well.
Dude, I mean I asked Dean if he ran into the Hulk to a girl, but I guess I gotta ask you, Lance, did you run into the Hulk to a girl?
No.
All right, let me reel it back in, Jacob. So I'm on offense. I'm going for two, and there's a DPI in the end zone. What happens?
We're going to bring it to the 1 yard line. You're still going to go for your 2 point conversion. It's going to be that.
Okay, and is that the only thing that's going to bring it to the 1 yard line? What about a hold in the end zone?
A defensive hold?
Yeah.
So if we have a defensive hold, it's going to be a 5 yard penalty, which is us from the. Wouldn't that be, or Lance? Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sorry, I'm fried right now, brain wise. We would assess from the line of scrimmage your 5 yards, and you'd retry the down, right?
If this was a DPI 2 point or try,
a hold.
Is a hold? Yeah. You're going.
Yeah. Hold in the end zone.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, it's a complete pass. Right, so it's going to be from the previous spot. So you're going to bring it back to the line of scrimmage, two from the six. Now, if it's DPI, six. Yeah.
Seven.
If it's
yeah.
Now DPI, it'll be at the one.
Yeah. Hold the 5 yard penalty, right, from the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. But in this scenario, you're given 6 yards.
Seven. Sorry.
I didn't ask you. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Lance, you can't be missing episodes anymore, man. Ant gets all these like little shots bottled up, and he has to like let them all out all at once.
So, but a roughing the passer would give a two from the six. I think that's what you were
trying to. Yeah, you go half the distance from that point.
Yeah.
Okay, Lance cool. So, Jacob, can you also just clear up what happens with the kind of the different scenarios? I knew I wasn't – I told you I wasn't going to bring this up, but I do got to bring this up, actually. I just want to talk about which penalties, if you've scored the touchdown, and what penalties are going to let you assess the yardage of that penalty on the touchdown towards the PAT.
Roughing penalties. So we're looking for, like, DPI. We're looking for defensive holding, stuff like that. That's going to,
that's so contact-related?
Contact-related penalties, yes. That's what we're looking for, to say, okay, do you want to assess it here? Do you want to assess it on the ensuing drive? You know, that's where your options kind of open up. That's where that door opens up for you.
Yeah. And what about unsportsmanlike or something like that?
Same thing. Yeah, same thing. Same thing would apply there.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Anything else you want to cover as far as PATs go?
I think that covers almost everything in my mind.
Yeah, okay, cool. Lance, what did he miss?
It's ball, not hips. So if the ball doesn't cross the line, I don't care what your
feet are.
That's
not extra point. That's any score.
No, I get people. No. Yes, I agreed. It is a score, be it a PAT or a touchdown.
I missed you so much, Lance.
Where is the ball? Where is the ball? Come on. Like, they're yelling at me. My feet are in. I'm like, I don't care about your damn feet. Where's the ball?
Where's the ball?
All right.
People are spinning backwards, and they're like walking backwards, and they stick the ball out backwards. I'm like, and the flag gets pulled at the goal line, but the ball's extended backwards. I'm like, well, it's not forward, so it's. I don't know what you want me to. You know, people are like, well, I extended the ball. Yes, back towards the field of play. I'm like,
Lance, I just want to tell you, and I got to be very specific, Jacob, because I do not want to get yelled at by Lance in this situation, okay? In Southern California, there is a Fours League that they've been running this, they say like 30-plus years. I don't know if that's true, but they've been running this Fours League that it is the place where the front of the flag first crosses the plane.
Yes.
So if a player swings their hips and the flag goes forward out and crosses the plane, it's a touchdown.
Yes. That it has been that they actually tried to adopt that up here, and I said, hell no.
What?
Think of it this way. Essentially, it's not ball. It's sort of hip.
It's one side of your hip.
Yeah. So if you're running, like you normally run, you could have the ball extended a full yard into the end zone and have your flag pulled short of the end zone, and you'd be short because your flags are squared with the line. So if you don't have a hip move, here's the other thing. If you're hit, if you do a hip move the other way and they pull the front flag first, it'll be where the back flag is.
Yeah.
Somebody needs their ass kicked.
Hey, so and just go ahead, Lance.
No, I've seen that. I don't know where I saw that. And I'm all like, this is asinine. What are you guys?
That's horrible. Absolutely terrible.
Yeah, and I wonder if you're people argue about your flags, like where the flag is spotted.
Let me guess, they play with triple threats.
No, they do use poppers, but these four games are they're 20-minute halves.
Oh, God.
And there's a pro clock the last 2 minutes of the game.
Was it both halves?
No, only the second half.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so and just think about a 2-man crew in the red zone trying to see where the front part of the flag crosses the plane. Like, how are you going to see that?
Get there, then you
and they're running bunch. And they're running, and they would be running bunch.
Of course. Naturally.
Lance, if I ever do anything like that or think about anything like that, please hit me square in the face. Just, I mean, break my nose. You greenlit to do whatever, man. Just make it a point that we don't need to do stupid shit like that.
Absolutely. Hey, but they've been doing it. They've been doing it for 30 years. And they don't allow jumping. They will not change their rules for anything. You know, but all right, Lance, I got to put you on the hot seat, and I'm going to ask a very specific question here. Okay, I do not want what you want to see happen. Okay, that's not my question. I'm not asking what you want to see happen. I'm asking, what do you think will happen in the 2028 Olympics? NFL players, flag players, or a mixture of both?
I think it'll be a mixture of players. I think two things are going to happen. One is NFL's collective bargaining agreement is going to have to change because right now, they would be in training camp. They're going to miss 2 weeks of training camp from the Summer Olympics, right? Let's just say 2 weeks, potentially 3 weeks. So that CBU has to be rewritten specifically. That's literally what I was thinking. Like, how are you going to, because it's written in, they can only do like OTAs and things of that nature. That's already been restricted. Contact has already been restricted. So now you're restricting them more in terms of like what they can and can't do during these 3 weeks. Unlike the World Baseball Classic, which is it's just before spring training really kicks in, right? It's like,
you also look at who goes to that.
Yeah, and then they – yes. And, while within the NFL, they're in the midst of training camp, like literally hardcore training camp, and they would be missing preseason games because – you think about it, so the Olympics just ended. So it's roughly, if we do it at the same time, they're missing like at least week one of preseason games. So that's literally, I think they'll have a mix. I agree with Hoosh that, hey, if we try out, they need to try out. Everyone needs to try out. But I think there's going to be a lot of eyes open to Omer's Park. Contact's different because there is no contact. DBs, learn how to run with your hands to your sides, right? And receivers, learn how to run routes without impeding the rusher. right? So little things like that. And they're, you know, they've never seen a 3QB situation. What do you do with that? You tell me Mexico's QB lines up from, if they're outside the 5-yard line going in, he lines up 15 yards back. They throw a triple QB 15 yards back. You tell me that you're going to have three defenders rush 22 plus yards every play. Guarantee you're going to be gassed. We're gassed. I'm gassed looking at him. So there's the nuances of the game that I don't believe a lot of NFL players, as well as spectators of the game itself, understand versus like what we see, even as just stripes, because we see it, because we have to look at it, right? We have to look at the drops, and we have to look at on the hooks. And like if you throw it back as QB1 and you take off, if you contact him, it's going to be on you. So like little things like that. So that's where I think the nuances of the fly game will trouble the NFL hook.
Yeah. So take the collective bargaining stuff out of the way. If that happens, when do you think the shift will happen where some real NFL players, like big time NFL players, will start to kind of mix into the process?
But here's the thing, Jacob, about an extremely valid point. It's 4 years from now. How old is Patrick Mahomes going to be? It's going to be 30 plus. Who's a freshman in college right now that could – that's who I would be looking at. I'm not looking at an NFL player that's 28 or older. I'm looking at an NFL – great example, Bo Nix, Caleb Williams. They're 21, 22. They would be in their prime by the time the Olympics come around.
The Manning kids from Texas.
Yeah, those are the guys I'd be looking at. And he'd even be on kind of that CJ Stroud. He'd be like on the upper end of the age group, right? Because he's 2 years. This is year two for him. That's what people need to think about. It's like, it's great. Patrick Mahomes, totally agree. Greatest talent that's out there right now in 2024. We are talking about 2028, 4 years from now. There's, like Jacob, you literally said it. There's a lot of things that can happen. A ton. And we don't know what's going to happen. So, are we going to start recruiting now? No, because it makes no sense. 2026, 27, you start evaluating your college talent as juniors and seniors, first-year players coming into the NFL. That's your talent pool. That's how I would. And then you know what the interesting thing is going to be? Who's coaching? Do you want a flag coach? Do you want a tackle coach? Personally, I want a flag coach. I want someone like a Pat Allen, like someone who's got the international flag experience, who knows and understands the game, knows the nuances, like the little things that we're just describing. That's because tackle, you just run over people. Can't do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, long-winded answer.
No, that's great. I appreciate your answer. Jacob avoids all the answers I have. You know.
Got it.
So, it's just like you avoid my phone calls when I call you from the field.
You can't say that anymore, dude. I answer on first rings now.
in Miami, me and Jordan are, you know, we got a protest going. We got all this stuff. And I'm like, hello, Jacob, Jordan, instantly you pick up. Come on, man. It still hurt.
I down at that time. Was I the one that got run over yet? You know.
No, I don't think that has happened yet. No, me and Jordan were living in. Yeah, we were living in a youth island just by ourselves.
Whatever. You guys had fun back there.
We did. We did have fun. Lance, I know you're going to just give the boring answer that the United States is going to win in Finland next week. But I do want to ask you, what are the teams to watch for, you know, that might be a Cinderella story that might end up with a bronze that people aren't expecting?
To be honest with you, on the women's side, so I'll go women's. I like Japan. So you have your U.S., you have Mexico. I want to see – I really want to see – Japan had that quarterback I think it was last year that I was like, oh, my Lord, who is that? And I watched all her games, and she was phenomenal. On the men's side, you know, there's the typical U.S. and Mexico. I like Italy's got some alleys. The quarterback's got a gun. And then, you know, the Japan men's, right? They always compete. So those are the two that I want. Those are the games that I want to watch more than anything else. I mean, even though I'm not there, I wish I was there, but those are the games I would want to watch.
Yeah. Cool. Well, guys, let's kind of wrap things up here. Jacob, final thoughts for the night.
You know, man, this was a really cool episode. You know, as we're starting to gear up towards Tampa, I've been kind of quietly working with contacting multiple officials from out of the country. It's kind of a goal of mine is to have a really strong international presence. So I'm really excited about that. Everybody also give me a quick prayer, a positive thought, whatever you got. Tomorrow night, I'm doing my first tackle high school football game. I got thrown into it. I got a call last night, asked if I could put a crew together, a charter school here. Apparently hadn't booked anybody. So me and five others are going out. We're gonna make the best of it.
Is it 11s or 8?
It's 11s. Okay. This is a high school varsity game. Yeah.
They just call a lot of flag guards.
Well, that's all I'm going to do. Flag guards, ball hits the ground, is dead. we're not running a stop clock at all. it'll be a good time. I feel more comfortable right now than I would have probably 2 years ago. Fact that we do use the National Federation book as kind of our backbone for when we don't have something covered, and being in that book it made me feel a lot more comfortable to be able to do this. So I'm excited. We'll see how it goes. I'll report back next week, and we'll go from there.
Nice. Lance, final thoughts? Anything you want to share?
Echoing kind of the international flair, is great to see Juan again. I hadn't seen him in San Antonio. It's always a pleasure to work with those guys. Omar, I've seen his name floating around on emails on the international side. So it's always good to get perspectives on kind of not just the officiating, but just the state of the game. Love the fact that Omar is, you know, all about flag, which is great. Just helps us promote the game and from an international side. So that was very cool. Good job, Ant. Appreciate that. That was nice to see. Would love to sort of, to your point, Jacob, get more international folks, like, you know, and I'm talking to like folks from across the pond, either in mm-hmm. Europe or Asia, and just to sort of get them. So, because apparently they know me and I have no idea who they are.
You're like, famous, Lance.
I'm all so. So
especially yeah. Those French Canadian women.
Yeah.
There you go. Anyway. I said over the pond, not up north. But anyway. But it'd be nice to, you know, have it come across. Oh my Lord. But yeah, like you said, Jacob, you're doing tackle. My tackle season starts tomorrow too. So we're doing tackle and tackle flag. So I am being, I was telling Ant before the show came on, like, next 2 months is all about high school, like both flag and tackle. So my weeks are extremely packed. It's a good thing. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, the one thing I just want to talk about, just to kind of wrap things up, a few weeks ago, we did kind of the beta version of the Associated Media Top 25. It had a good, you know, a good amount of voters. They're all going to remain anonymous, but they came together and we put this Top 25 together for flag football. It includes everybody, men's, women's, co-ed, all the different, you know, fours, fives, sixes, sevens, eight co-ed. And it was a lot of fun. We got a lot of positive feedback about it. I think including both men, women, and co-ed in one pool kind of keeps some of the egos out of it. So I think that that also helps keep it fun. But as the voters kind of all submitted it and it came together as this one list, all the voters kind of came back to me and said, oh, I forgot this team and I forgot this team and there was this team I forgot to mention. And so we wanted to just give it a second go, kind of get out of the beta. And so hopefully tomorrow night we're going to release the second version of the top 25. It'll be kind of the pre-San Diego poll. And then from there, I'm just going to keep it going once a month. We'll release it after, you know, whichever USA flag tourney we have, we'll release a new one and we'll see how the rankings move and shift. And so I'm excited to continue to do that. You know, I think that, I think it's a fun thing to do. And like I said, keep the egos out of things and we can just have fun conversations about it. So there's my thoughts on that. And so finally, we are everywhere that you can listen to podcasts, but I think the best experience and to be able to see Lance's living room and his piano is on YouTube. So I think that's where, you know, if you really want to understand what this podcast is about, is you watch it and hear it on YouTube. But throughout the week, there's things going on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and Threads and Twitter. Being a part of this, I appreciate the officials that are reaching out and asking questions and wanting to be on the show. But like I said last week, for anybody that wants to be on this show, don't just say you want to be on the show because maybe you played flag football 10 years ago. You got to contribute. We're here to improve the game. We're here to bring us into the Olympics. And so, you know, be a part of the conversation, be willing to talk about rules and things like that, because that's what makes this show different. So I appreciate you both for coming on tonight, Lance. I know you've been super busy and we have missed you. And now that we're on opposite coasts, I just need a big hug from you, Lance. You know, I just feel like, so, but I appreciate you both and y'all have a good night.
All right. Take care, guys.
Hey, last thing. Don't hit that button yet. We didn't talk about your new merch, man.
Oh, yeah. we got merch. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, you got to check the link tree on Instagram. It shows everywhere we are, but on the very top is the fire merch, and you can get Jordan's angry mug on anything that you want. You can get shirts and water bottles and car magnets and all kinds of fun stuff. So definitely check that out. We appreciate the support, and that's the best way to, you know, to support us is rock us at the next tournament. So I don't know, Jacob, is there something cool you can do if you see someone rocking some merch in San Diego?
I mean, maybe we could work something out. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe we could do like a giveaway. Maybe we could give a couple t-shirts away or something beforehand. Cool.
What if we did what? Oh, hey, how about this? Since you're not going to be there yet. So, you know, between me and Jacob, since I think we're the only two, right?
Wait a minute. Jordan,
like in the sense of going to San Diego, only me, you and I. Like
Jordan potentially is going. Have you completely pulled the plug?
I don't know. They
take a picture with whoever's there that's part of the program, we'll call it, and hashtag it clocks running. And that way it'll help promote. But they have to take a picture with whatever it is, like if it's a sticker or whatever, along with themselves and along with one of us, wherever we are in San Diego, and hashtag it clocks running. And that way we can go find it. And then we'll do a contest on everyone that sends up, or we give a shirt away, or we'll do something. But that way we can, like, but it will show, you know, I want to see the merch. I want to see, like, if I'm on the field and I'm in between halves or in between games, just come up, just take a quick pic. I might hit you or like, get scared, but you know, so violent. It's all about the fun. It's all about to promote not just us, but also the Flag community and the Flag family, because it's growing, and we want it to continue to grow. And this is our way of helping with that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I don't know, down the road, I just feel like, Jacob, I feel like you've got to get a T-shirt that has Lance's picture on it, and maybe on the back it says hit the ignore button or clock's hot or something like that.
Picture of Lance going like that.
So gotta go.
I think that's everything.
Yeah. All right, cool. Jacob, anything else you want to add? I don't want to cut you off.
No, that's good, man. That's a big deal. We got merch now. So
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's okay. We'll talk about this in your performance review.
All right, cool. Well, let's wrap it up, and so people can start watching this show tonight.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right. Later.